Okay, on KUOW's The Record, here is another example of a topic we cover on this radio station that's not easy, but it can be good for you. Can be good for you. I'm talking about the end of life, also known as death. It can be scary, hard to imagine, something you don't want to think about. It's emotional when it happens to a loved one. But our next guest says you'd be better off if you get comfortable with death. Caitlin Doty is a mortician and the author of the new book, From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death. She and Jeff Jorgensen, the founder of Elemental Cremation and Burial in Seattle, they want people to talk more about how they want to die and be buried. Caitlin says you need to be more intimate with death. Get in there, dig the hole, cry, hug the body.
That's a great introduction to me. Dig the hole, cry, hug the dead body. Wow. That sounds like exactly what I stand for in my advocacy. Yeah, I think that 100, 150 years ago, that's what everybody did with their dead. When we talk about the American way of death, that's what we're talking about. That's what we did for hundreds of years. And then in the early 20th century, you have this for-profit funeral industry that arises that says, oh, no, 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 you're not qualified to take care of the dead body. You give it to us and you pay us, and now we'll do all of this. And I think now people are starting to wake up, especially in the Seattle area, to this idea that we can reclaim this. We can once again be a part of this. And they feel like something's missing. They feel like when mom died, it had to be an emergency and she was just swept away behind the scenes immediately, ne'er to be seen again. And people are saying, no, I wanted to be there when she died. I wanted to sit with her body. I wanted to somehow be involved in the cremation or burial. And why wasn't I given access to that?
But funeral director Jeff, you offer what some people call alternative green burials. But what are the laws? Can I not involve any company or chemicals? I mean, can I bury someone in my yard in Seattle? What do I have to do?
There's a lot to that question. I'm happy to answer all of it. You have 24 hours in Washington State before you have to do something with that body, either embalm or refrigerate. And so it's up to you in that 24 hours. So take your time and think about it. Now, as far as burying in your backyard, that's an expensive and unlikely proposition.
Why expensive?
Well, you basically need to have your house set up as a cemetery, and it takes an endowment fund with the state of $25,000.
So wow.
Yeah, I mean, it gets complicated very fast.
Okay, that's some legal stuff. Caitlin, I want to get back to this idea of how we would feel about hanging out with mom after she's died or mom's body, because that's not most people I know. I've been involved in some deaths, and you know, we are at a remove from our loved one at that time, and it kind of, I don't know, there's something comforting about it, and it sounds complicated and someone else is taking care of it and you're upset anyway. What could change in all that realistically in Seattle?
Well, first of all, it's important to know that it's completely safe to be around the dead body, and it's completely legal to be around the dead body. As Jeff said, you have that 24 hours to make any decision you want. And even if you don't want to make a decision, you can just put some dry ice or gel under the body and keep thinking about it. So you shouldn't be financially or stress pressured in any way to move forward until you're ready. As far as being with the dead body, if I just walked you into a room and there was a corpse or a dead body there of someone you didn't know, and I shut the door and said, good luck, you would say, what horror is this? What's going on? Why am I in this room with a dead body? But if it's your mother, or if it's your partner, or if it's your child, it's a completely different experience. This is someone that you've known your whole life and is a part of your life intimately. And now they're not there anymore. And sitting with them allows not only for you to start to accept that this person really is not here anymore and your life is forever changed, but it also allows you to reflect on the fact that someday you too will die. And someday you will be as this person is, dead. And that's an incredibly valuable experience that not everyone is prepared to take on. And obviously, there's a whole funeral industry waiting for you if you don't want to take that on. But for the people who hear that and say, wait a minute, that appeals to me, they should just know that it's available to them.
Jeff, as someone who is so familiar with death, I'm sorry to hear that you recently, 4 years ago, lost your mother. So when that became real for you and was impending, what was it like personally? as separate from the your theories.
Outside my licensure and outside, you know, death is, you know, people ask, you know, are you less afraid of death than, you know, before you started this? And the answer is no, death is terrifying. It is terrifying for everyone on some level. When you're around it, it gets a little easier because you know what happens after the fact. When my mom was ill and, you know, it was a fairly short 6-month battle with cancer, you know, there's a lot of emotion in that. And when the time actually comes, you know, the day of her death, I hadn't really had that conversation with her. And I said, Mom, do you want to be cremated? And she said, well, yeah, isn't that kind of the option? And it was a 15-second conversation that I had, and I no longer have questions. And so that's the kind of dialogue that we should be having long before. And here I am, a professional, and I dropped the ball.
Well, what was so bad about not having a conversation before those 15 seconds?
The cost of only having that 15-second conversation and only having that dialogue at a late hour meant that I didn't get to have that discussion of what options were available to her, or we didn't have a dialogue about what might bring her healing knowing about it beforehand, or what might bring me healing after her passing. There wasn't the fidelity of conversation that would allow for that larger healing. When she died, it was very surreal because I actually succumbed to that, oh my gosh, we've got to do something right now. You know, I watched her take her last breath, and after about 5 minutes, I said, all right, I've got to get her dressed, and filed her permits and met her at the crematory a couple days later. And then I witnessed the placement into the chamber. And I cremated her.
And she died in a hospital and not at home?
Correct.
Was that always the plan?
No, we had hoped to have her at home, but there was some pain management and some, I mean, you get into the healthcare thing and they can't do injections at home, and blah, 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 all the details there.
And how did that experience change anything, if it did, in the way you view death and how the rest of us view death?
The experience was interesting because I think the hospital death, when we talk about a good death and when Caitlin and I talk about, you know, crafting this death for people as funeral professionals, you know, we want that death in the home. We want you to take care of your loved one. We want you to do all of these things. And the reality is the medical system kind of is geared to keeping people in hospitals. And so I was very fortunate because I'm a funeral director and I'm outspoken and rather pushy. They gave me that space at the hospital. But it's a very difficult thing for a family. You have to be very forward in what you want to do.
Caitlin, Jeff said in telling that story that death is terrifying to everyone. You don't seem terrified. Does death terrify you still?
I don't trust people when they say, I don't know if you've ever met this type of person. Usually it's a man who says, you know what? I've always been completely fine with death. I don't worry about it. Just do whatever with me. What you're doing is cute, but it doesn't really matter. I don't trust them farther than I can swing a cat because I think that people who have really seen death, whether they've worked in the death industry, whether they've had watched someone die, whether they've been present when people die, when you see the reality of death, there's such a profound respect that you have for death. And you're not flippant about it, and you understand the great force on humanity that it is. And so I'm not terrified of death, but part of me will always be in conversation with it and worried about it and when it's coming and when it's coming for the people that I love. And the conversations that I have with death are just to improve that experience when the time comes.
How does that improve your life?
It improves my life because I feel very self-aware. I think I'm someone who believes that the Grim Reaper has his hand up all our butts, that he's really controlling everything that we do, that's so much about why we want to achieve and why we want to have children and have our names on buildings and build companies and host radio shows is because we know we have a finite amount of time. And we know that we have to do the most with what we have. And that's what death provides us. Those deadlines, emphasis on dead. And if we don't have that, we'd be lost. We'd be walking around in this world of never-ending nothingness. And the fact that we have that in death is a blessing. And I feel really self-aware to understand that every day of my life.
Okay, so there, as you say, we're motivated by those deadlines. Can't we also be in denial in the meantime? Like, we don't have to think about death as much as you want us to.
Well, we're all in denial. We don't have a problem with a denial.
Uh-huh.
Like, we don't have a problem with denial. We have a problem with lack of denial. We have a problem with being open and having these conversations.
Well, what's like, so bad about denial? What do we lose if we just don't think about it until we have to?
Well, if, for example, with Jeff's story with his mother, and he did so much right with her, and just knowing about their relationship and how he was there at the end of her life, it's a beautiful story. And in so I don't want to take anything away from their final 15-second conversation about cremation, but he's exactly right then when her response was, yeah, I'm going to be cremated. I mean, what are the other options? What are the other options? That's exactly it. Like, is there something that they could have had a long conversation about where she wanted to be scattered? Or maybe she wanted to be buried. Maybe she wanted to break with family tradition. Or maybe she wanted to be taken somewhere after she died. You know, there are any number of things.
But what if she didn't want to talk about it? What if she, you know, are you sure? Maybe she just didn't want to have to think about it till 15 seconds. The shorter, the better. What do you think?
You bring up a good point, but I think I use that to illustrate this is a hard conversation, no matter how short, no matter how long. It is a hard conversation, but darn it, do it.
Do it also because people do not understand until someone that they are very close to dies how many decisions have to be made after death and how much paperwork there is, how much there is wills, how much there is advance directives, how much there is disposition of property. It's a complicated, complicated thing. And if you die without ever having that conversation or sharing what you want or getting your paperwork in order, you're leaving a massive burden on your family. And there's no way around that. And I know that you're afraid of death, and I know that you don't want to have that conversation, but if you don't want to make it so hard for your family beyond the grief they're already suffering in the fact that you're dead, you need to have that conversation.
And, you know, it isn't a singular conversation. If you try and tackle all of this in one conversation at the Thanksgiving table, oh boy, this is really a series of dialogues where you talk about the history of your family and the heirlooms you have around your house and the house you're sitting in and the estate and what bank accounts do you have? Because we just heard this thing on the radio about how most people don't even know how many bank accounts mom has. You know, that's the kind of stuff we see every day. Why are we trying to figure this out when they're dead?
Can you leave us with one piece of advice, something we could do to move a step closer to a healthier, more peaceful relationship with death?
I'm like, do we have time for a 12-part list? It's not going to be one conversation. I've been picking away at my parents for years, death by a thousand little cuts of me trying to have this conversation with them. And it's a slow process, but it's so worth starting. Because once you start it, all sorts of other things will open up. Because once you acknowledge that somebody might die, that anybody in the world might die, it opens up emotional conversations. It opens up conversations about the past. It opens up conversations about the potential futures. And it just leads to, I believe, a more intimate relationship with the people close to you in your life. Because there's nothing that brings people closer together than having a hard conversation.
And it doesn't all have to be negative. It's also a discussion about what you want to do with your time left. When mom got diagnosed with cancer, all right, mom, are we going to Scotland? You've never been there. Why don't we do that? And all of a sudden you have all of these things unfold that it's like, wait a minute, you know what? There are beautiful things that we can do with the time we've got left. So it can be a positive, fun conversation too that tackles some of these things.
That's Jeff Jorgensen, founder of Elemental Cremation and Burial in Seattle, an alternative green funeral home, and Caitlin Doty, mortician and the author of the new book, From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death. So she went all around the world to find how different cultures deal with death, and she told me how Seattle is really a quite death positive. There are a lot of progressive funeral practitioners here. One unique burial method is an interview that you may have heard me do. It has to do with composting a body, and I interviewed someone named Katrina Spade about her work locally on that topic, and we can tweet out a link to that interview now, or you can search Katrina Spade at KUOW.org. Okay, cheery stuff. How to deal with it the right way instead of the avoiding way on listener-supported KUOW.